It is so great to get to be here. Six weeks ago, I celebrated for the last time and preached for the last time in my congregation in Sacramento. And for these past 6 weeks, I have been praying for you and looking forward to this moment when we get to begin, at least for a short season, our ministry together. So thank you. So Jesus sent the disciples out in pairs. And Mark tells us that they went through the towns and villages and they cast out demons and they anointed many who were sick and cured them. Our gospel reading today begins when the disciples return back to Jesus and start telling him all the great things that they have been doing. And Mark tells us that they couldn't get a word out. They couldn't have a break to eat because people kept coming and swarming and swarming and swarming, wanting more of the gospel, wanting more of the Jesus that they were giving them. Jesus looked at his disciples with compassion and realized that they were harried and exhausted and had no leisure even to eat. So he decided to give them a little break. He said, "Let's go away where we can have some quiet time." And they get in a boat and they start rowing across the lake. And as they are rowing across the lake, all of these people who want the Jesus start seeing where they're going, and they walk along the shore. So the disciples, as they're rowing to have their quiet, restful time, they're rowing and they hit the shore and they get up out of the boat and they are greeted with hundreds and thousands of people still wanting more and more of what they have to offer. Imagine hundreds and thousands of people spiritually hungry and starving, clamoring for what the church has to offer. Oh, have times changed. I read an article just this past week in a newspaper from Minnesota, which is like the center of the Lutheran world. And that article said that since the year 2000, 150 Lutheran churches have closed in Minnesota. 150. And that of the ones that are remaining, 50% of them have less than 50 members. There was an article in the Christian Century recently that said that in a poll that was taken, the number of people that identified as Protestant in the United States in the last 4 years dropped from 50% to 36%. Isn't that something? A 14% drop. And as I was reading this gospel reading, with this story, right, of people that were so hungry and they so wanted what the disciples wanted, they were flocking to them and chasing them, right? They're in a boat rolling across a lake and they're chasing after them because they want it so badly. And realizing that that's how it's supposed to be. And wondering, why isn't it like that? And even though it's tempting, I don't think it's accurate to blame the people. People are still hungry. People are hungry for community and purpose and hope and love. They are possessed by demons of anxiety and fear and loneliness. When you look out in the world, you know that people are hungry. We turn to social media and that's not satisfying. We turn to Amazon Prime Day and that's not satisfying. And we're still hungry and our world is just like going crazy all around us. So it's not the people. It's something else. So in 2006, I had just started my ministry in Sacramento. And I was out to get some lunch, and I was standing in line in Jim Boy's to get a burrito because, in case you don't know this, burrito is the perfect lunch. It's in one hand. It's all you need. So I'm standing in line to get my burrito. And this young woman comes up to me. I'm wearing my priest collar, looking all holy and whatnot. This woman comes up to me, and she has dreadlocks and tattoos and piercings and wearing this cotton peasant dress. And she comes up to me, and she says, "Are you with the church?" And I said, "Yes, I am." She goes, "Can we talk?" I said, "Yes, I'd love to talk. Let me get my burrito, and then I'll come join you over there." And she goes and sits down, and I start getting ready for the conversation that I know is about to come. Because I had just moved to California from 11 years of ministry in Idaho. And in Idaho, the religious right was really strong. And I was, for those 11 years, a gay rights advocate. And it was like a brutal thing. And I was constantly being confronted by people that weren't of the religious right, but identified every priest or every religious person as someone who was socially conservative, coming up to me saying, "Why are Christians such jerks? Right? And why is the church so mean and exclusive and all of that stuff?" So I'm getting ready for that conversation, and I'm loading the tapes in my head, like, the Episcopal Church isn't like that. We've got like gay clergy on staff in my church, and I'm getting all ready for that. Get my burrito, I sit down, she leans across the table, and she asks, "Can you tell me about Jesus?" And what popped in my head was, I should know this. But I didn't. I did not know how to tell her about Jesus. I preach about Jesus every single Sunday, but over a burrito, like, could you tell me about Jesus? I didn't know. And you know how, like there in a span of this much time, I thought, like, for this long, like, and like I went back to my first encounter of Jesus. The first time I experienced Jesus was the first time I went to church, which was when I was a cadet at West Point, and I started going to church because my girlfriend, who is now my wife, sang in the choir, and I would earn points with my girlfriend if I went to church. And I went, you know, reluctantly. The flesh was willing, but the spirit was not interested. But after a while, I had this dramatic conversion experience. I fell in love with Jesus. That will be another sermon. I'm not going to tell you everything on the first day. But I fell in love with this grace and love that I experienced in Jesus, but the message I was given to explain it was that Jesus died so that those who believed in Jesus wouldn't burn in hell by God who loves us all. And there were parts of that message that didn't fit for me anymore, these, you know, 25 or whatever years later. And so I didn't want to insert that tape and tell her that, because that really wasn't the gospel as I was experiencing it. But I hadn't figured out how else to say it, what to say. So I sat there, like, and it's like, I'm like glitching. And she's waiting, like, for the priest to answer the simple question, which was telling me about Jesus. And then finally she realized that I was incapable of answering her question, so she threw me a bone and said, how about tell me how you met Jesus or how you became a Christian? I was like, okay, thank you. So for that story. But afterwards I reflected back on why I was unable to answer that question. Like, I'm a priest. I should be able to put into words the ways in which my life has been transformed by the love of God in Christ Jesus, but I couldn't. And I began to realize that that's exactly the situation the Episcopal Church was in. The Episcopal Church was not articulating to people why Jesus changes our lives or how Jesus changes our lives. And I was reflecting back on the 90s, which we proclaimed in the Episcopal Church as the decade of evangelism. And I was thinking about this ad project. There was this advertising campaign that the Episcopal Church did in the 90s that at the time I thought was really pretty cool. And they came out with these provocative ads. And one had an icon of Jesus with the words that said, "He died to take away your sins, not your mind." Which is kind of cool, right? We're saying in the Episcopal Church, you can bring your mind and your questions and all of that. We're a thinking church. You don't have to, like, check your mind at the door to be an Episcopalian. There was another ad that had a picture of an altar. And then the word said something like, where women belong in our church. There was one, women's place. There's a women's place in our church. And there was one with vestments, a picture of vestments. And it said what women are wearing to church these days. To show that the Episcopal Church is a church that affirms the ministry of women. And when these ads came out, I went, yes, these are great ads. But in reflecting on them, the message, the only thing those ads were saying was come to the Episcopal Church because we're not as bad as other churches. Right? Come to the Episcopal Church because we like women. Come to the Episcopal Church because you can think in church. We're not as bad as those other churches you keep hearing about. Which is not a gospel message. There's no good news in that. We weren't saying come to the Episcopal Church because it will change your life. Come to the Episcopal Church and meet Jesus. And when you do, you will be less judgy. You will have more joy and more hope. You will come alive. You will have community. None of that was said in the Episcopal Church. Our big message was, we're not as bad as others. So, come on. But we haven't replaced that until recently in the Episcopal Church. And that question asked by that woman made me realize sort of the poverty of my own articulation in the world. And about a week after that, God sent me an angel in the shape of Bud Swank, who is a retired Baptist minister who was attending my church, who realized that I needed a little mentoring, and he was right. And he sat down with me in my office, and he said, Brian, you need to articulate why it's necessary to believe in Jesus. Now, my first thought, the first thing I wanted to say, and fortunately I didn't say, was, but Bud, it's not necessary to believe in Jesus. Because being a good liberal Episcopalian who does a lot of interfaith work at the time, particularly with Tibetan Buddhists, who doesn't believe that God is going to condemn to hell everyone who's not a Christian, that I was pushing against that message that, you know, only Christians will be welcomed by God and God's love in heaven. So I wanted to say to Bud, it's not necessary really for people. And then when that almost came out of my mouth, I realized that that's a cop-out, and that what Bud was really asking was that I needed to be able to articulate why it's necessary for me to believe in Jesus. Why my faith is necessary for me to be alive. Like why my life in prayer is necessary for me to be the person God has created me to be. And to get in touch with. And that it is out of that, out of my understanding of how I'm brought alive by this, that then equips me to go into the world and be an agent of love, be an agent of delivering the gospel, this gospel of connection and community and reconciliation and love. That equips me to do that. Now, we have a few months together. I don't know how many months we have together. I'm here as the interim while you prepare and call your next rector. But for me, as I'm thinking about what this ministry could be about, I'm wondering about the challenge, like challenging you. How would you answer that question? Like, could you tell me about Jesus? Or in what way is it necessary for you to believe in Jesus? To invite a conversation, I want to hear from you. I want to learn from you how you answer that question. I'm going to share with you through preaching how I answer that question in multitude, many, many different ways. But then there's also the invitation for us to think about how St. Ambrose answers that question. What is it? Who is Jesus to St. Ambrose? And what is the gospel? What is the particular way that St. Ambrose is called to love Clermont into wholeness? To serve Clermont? In what way? Now, my job as interim isn't to lead you into a firm answer. That will be the job of the next rector. My hope is that I can till the soil. I can maybe raise your curiosity or your energy or your thinking so you can imagine possibility, so that when your next rector comes, you are on the balls of your feet. You are ready to go into the world to bring Christ's love, ready to transform Clermont into wholeness through Christ's love. So I'm hoping during these months that we have together that we can wrestle with that question. Tell me about Jesus. Tell me about who Jesus is for you. And how has your life been transformed? How are you a better human with Jesus in your life? And it's from that place that we can then explore